All right, before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you about another ESPN podcast, The CJ McCollum Show. Every week, hosted by New Orleans Pelicans star CJ McCollum. CJ discusses names and storylines in and around the NBA with inside perspective you can only get from someone in the locker room and on the floor. That's The CJ McCollum Show. Listen wherever you're listening to this podcast. Welcome back to another Adam Schefter podcast. On this week's podcast, as we wrap up week 9 and head into week 10, we will be joined by one of the bright lights of the National Football League, a man that I believe is a head coach in waiting. Don't know whether he'll get his turn this year or next year, but trust me, folks, it's coming. The Eagles quarterbacks coach, Brian Johnson, is going to be a head coach in the National Football League. We'll see when it happens, but Brian Johnson will stop by today as the Eagles prepare for Monday night's game against the Washington Commanders to talk about his development of Jalen Hurts, his coaching path, the people he's learned from, and we'll get to spend some time with the great Eagles quarterbacks coach, Brian Johnson. That will be prior to this week's matchups, and we will get the first ever NFL game in Germany. Let's be honest here. Who would have thought that the Seahawks-Buccaneers game would be in the way that it is, where Seattle is in first place and Tampa is struggling? Game will be in Munich Sunday morning, first regular season game in Germany, the fourth different city outside the United States to host a regular season game. And of course, there'll be more history for Tom Brady because he's always making history. He'll become the first quarterback in NFL history to start a game in four different countries: the United States, England, Mexico, Germany. Man, if I had covered this game this Sunday, I would be one of the first reporters to cover a football game in four different countries. But that's not to be. We'll be in New York for the pregame show on Sunday morning while Tom Brady is quarterbacking against Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks, who are really one of this season's, maybe this season's biggest surprise. The Seahawks front office has completely revamped that roster. Pete Carroll has done his thing. General manager John Schneider has done his thing. And the Seahawks are rolling along with Geno Smith starring as quarterback. Like, can we just give the comeback player of the year award to Geno Smith right now? And would he even be in the MVP conversation, dare I say? Seems a little bit outrageous right now, but not out of the question. So Geno Smith making his push. And that should be a nice matchup on Sunday morning where the Seahawks are in first, the Buccaneers are struggling, and that's the game that we will treat the folks in Germany to this upcoming week. And then in the afternoon, we will get Mike McCarthy's first game against the Packers as a head coach after he served as Green Bay's head coach for 13 seasons and has the second most wins in franchise history. This will be an interesting matchup, right? Aaron Rodgers is 7-2 against the Cowboys, but he's never played the way he's playing now. Missing easy throws. They look totally out of sync. Their team is banged up. The Packers seem to be going the other direction. Again, these seasons rarely go the way that people forecast and anticipate. Everybody thought the Buccaneers and the Packers would be rolling a potential NFC Championship game matchup. And here's Tom Brady on an offense that's too predictable and throwing the ball too much. And the Packers can't make plays, can't score points, scored 9 points against Detroit, which had allowed at least 24 points in every game this season. And now they try to get on track against a Dallas team that's rolling, talking about adding Odell Beckham Jr. Should be a great matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers. Love this Sunday night matchup this week. The Chargers and the 49ers. The 49ers should be getting, as we tape this midday Tuesday, a bunch of starters back for this game. I think Deebo Samuel will be back. I think Nick Bosa will be back. I think Elijah Mitchell will be back. I was told that the 49ers could have up to 11 injured players returning for this game that they'll have to have in San Francisco hosting the Chargers. The teams don't play often. The Chargers have won 5 straight games against the 49ers. The 49ers' last win over the Chargers was in 2000 when the starting quarterbacks were Jeff Garcia and Ryan Leaf. But the Chargers this year, like the Packers, beaten up, battered, and we'll see whether they could turn it around on Sunday night against the tough and I think ascending San Francisco 49ers that I also think are a dangerous team if they can reach the postseason. Before we get to Monday night, Commanders, Eagles, Eagles unbeaten, 8-0 for the first time in franchise history. The last two teams to start a season 9-0, which the Eagles will be trying for on Monday night, were the 2020 Steelers and the 2015 Carolina Panthers. Jalen Hurts, by the way, has won 11 straight regular season starts. And the last QB to win 12 straight was Lamar Jackson, who won 13 straight in 2019. So the Eagles are rolling. They're on a little bit of a historical pace here. And the man that's helped develop Jalen Hurts is none other than their quarterback's coach, Brian Johnson. Brian.
How's it going?
The hat's all straight. We're all good there.
Y'all good to roll?
Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, no problem. Nice to meet you as well.
I've heard a lot about you. And I said, I want to reach out to Brian Johnson, and I want to hear from him about what this season's been like, what it's like to be undefeated, what it's like to be working with an MVP candidate, what it's like to follow the path that you have to take you to Philadelphia. So where do you want to start, Brian? You tell me.
I mean, I guess we could start with Jalen, you know. He's a big reason for success that we're having so far, you know.
What's been the biggest difference in his game? Because he's dialed it up a whole lot.
The biggest difference has just been him having accelerated vision and having those reps last year and seeing how teams have played him, understanding defensive structures, and having his eyes and feet in concert with what he's thinking and what he's seeing with the defense. So, you know, obviously after last season, we made a big list of things we wanted to continue to improve upon. And he had a great offseason. I mean, his OTAs were excellent. Training camp was excellent. You know, there's never a doubt in my mind in terms of him putting in the work to make himself the best player that he could possibly be. And that's just the type of person that he is. So he's, you know, he's obviously improved throughout the course of his short career and throughout the course of this season. But I think the biggest thing is him having accelerated vision to his target and being very, very decisive with football.
Brian, you took over as the Eagles quarterback's coach in late January of 21. When did you know that it was clicking for Jalen in the way that it has?
You know, I think after that first Giants game, we got late into the season and you know, you could see him start to accrue those reps with certain defensive structures and knowing exactly where we wanted to go to, what plays we wanted to get to, where the ball should go versus certain defensive looks. And, you know, you just can't say enough about how he's continued to work at his craft each and every day and be really invested in the moment and really, really just dialed into everything he needs to do to make sure that he's playing his best.
Okay, so what's it like now, 8 weeks into the season, heading into week 9, a Monday night game, or week 10, I should say, a Monday night game against the Washington Commanders? What's it like to go through a season, be into early November, and not have lost a game?
Well, you know, I think Jalen said this best last week. You know, he's been 8-0 before, you know, in college. And you know, obviously it's a different level when you get to this league, but, you know, I've been on teams that have been 8-0 before as well. So it's really just all about the process and all about coming to work every single day and trying to get better and trying to find a way to maximize your ability and your potential and get the most out of yourself each and every day.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any eight-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature eight-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza, better because it has to be. In 1998, I covered the Denver Broncos. They were unbeaten. I think they were 13-0 before they lost their first game in New Jersey at the Meadowlands against the New York Giants. Kent Graham started at that point in time at quarterback. But what I remember about that was every week, the pressure seemed to build. And every week, it seemed like people were gunning at you more and more. The more you won, the more they took aim at you. Do you feel any of that when you go on here?
Yeah, not particularly. You know, this thing is ultimately like this game is about what you do and controlling what you can control. You know, and trusting your preparation, trusting your process. And, you know, if you do everything that you're supposed to do throughout the week, then obviously you can live with the result, knowing that you put everything you had into it in terms of your preparation, how hard you played, and the decisions that you made out there on the field or in the meeting room. So, you know, it really, you know, it's very cliche to say, but it really is just about handling your business and trying to control what you can control.
You mentioned the Utah teams. So you were a true freshman in 2004 at Utah, back up to a guy that I know a little bit about, Alex Smith. What was it like backing up Alex Smith at Utah, the guy that eventually would go on to become the number one overall pick in the NFL draft?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I remember coming in early that summer, my freshman year, and I lived with Alex that entire summer. And
oh, really?
And the guy that recruited me was like, just follow Alex and do everything that he does and you'll be okay. And, you know, that was Dan Mullen. So Dan Mullen was the quarterback coach. And I remember I came in early, about 3 months before training camp, and we were the only two scholarship quarterbacks at the time. So, you know, I knew that I would have a chance to be in the two deep for sure. So I remember getting there and he was like, well, just follow Alex and just live in his basement and do everything that he does and then you'll be good to go. And that cultivated a great friendship that lasts to this day. I mean, we were both in each other's weddings.
We were
really, really close friends. And that's someone who I consider almost like a brother. And I've learned so much from him and, you know, obviously follow his journey throughout his career. So, you know, it's good to see him out there with you guys on Monday nights and talking about the games and still being around it.
And what is the biggest lesson that you've learned in your time with Alex?
You know, there's probably two lessons. One, I think that the biggest thing that I learned from him early on was preparation. You know, I really, really saw his process throughout the week to get ready for a game. And I tried to mold that and try to take some of those notes as well and carry that over to my career. And then, you know, obviously personally, he's one of the most mentally tough people I know. And, you know, I think the lessons that this game teaches you of how to deal with adversity, how to deal with success, teamwork, the being accountable and dependable, you know, I think that all carries over to life. And, you know, those are definitely lessons that I've watched Alex go through himself and learn and stuff that happens throughout your life. You can, you know, it's really a carryover from the game of football. And you learn so much and it teaches you so many life lessons. That's why I'm excited that I get an opportunity to work around this game each and every day. You know, I really don't take it for granted at all.
You mentioned the name Dan Mullen, and Dan Mullen hiring you as the quarterback's coach at Mississippi State, correct, in 2014?
Correct.
So did he bring you into coaching? Basically, is he responsible for this, Brian?
You know, actually, Kyle Whittingham is. I mean, once they left, Kyle, I coached at Utah for four seasons before I went to Mississippi State.
As the offensive coordinator.
So I really didn't know what I wanted to do, once I finished school. And, luckily Coach Whittingham gave me an opportunity and I jumped right into coaching and I've never looked back. It's been a huge blessing. And I've been fortunate enough to be around some great coaches who are also great men who taught me so much about this game and so much about life. Hopefully, and I can just pass those lessons down to the younger guys that are coming up.
What are some of those lessons that you've learned from some of these great coaches that you've been around? I would imagine that Kyle Whittingham is in there. I would imagine Dan Mullen's in there. Who else stands out? What have you learned from them, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I think they're all so different and so unique. The biggest thing that I've learned is that you can be successful in a bunch of different ways. And having adaptability and being able to adapt to situations that are beyond your control, that's a really, really important quality to have. But I think that the biggest thing in coaching really is you have to be adaptable. You have to be willing to learn, continue to learn and grow no matter how long you've been in it. And obviously you have to be yourself. I've been fortunate to be around some great coaches and they all do it a little bit differently, but it's all genuine to them. And their personality stays consistent and genuine. They don't try to be anybody else. They're very, very authentic to who they are. And I think that's something that's really, really important to show your players.
What stands out about your two seasons with Nick Sirianni? What have you learned from him?
Nick is super authentic. Before I got here, I didn't know Nick at all. And
that was an arranged marriage.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable to work for. The energy that he possesses on a daily basis, his attention to detail. I think those are two things that really, really separates him. Obviously he loves football. He's a fantastic football coach. But his organization and his detail, I think, are top-notch and second to none.
So, Brian, again, I mentioned the unbeaten team. Everybody's going to get to watch you on Monday night, hopefully. I think Alex is going to be there, I think.
He is.
Okay, good. So you knew and I didn't. That's good that I'll be working with him on Monday night. So we'll get to see you hopefully come by the set there, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll get a chance to say hello to him before the game.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Okay, so I'm wondering, we'll get to see you, we will see you, but what's the thing about this unbeaten, so far, Eagles team that people don't realize?
I think the biggest thing is how close this team is. People get a huge misconception, I think, sometimes of professional sports not having the same type camaraderie and togetherness as maybe a college football team. But this team is really, really close. The guys like each other. They play for each other. And everybody is really focused on doing their job for the good of the team. And I think that's something that starts with our leadership from the top down, from Mr. Lurie and Howie and Nick himself. Like, this whole thing is about how can we be the best versions of ourselves collectively? And what you need to do in order to make that happen is to be really, really selfless. And, we really live the core values that Nick sets the stage for us with our connectivity. He talks about connecting all the time. And at the end of the day, this game is about the people, the people in the locker room, the people in the building. And if everybody's pulling in the same direction, it makes football really, really fun.
Would the team be as close? Would it be as connected? Would all these positive things be happening if the record were 0-8 rather than 8-0?
Well, I think it definitely would make it a little bit more difficult. Not naive to that at all. But I do think, you know, a reason that success does happen is because of the connection. Mm-hmm. And when you do have a deep connection with someone, you play a little bit harder. You play a little bit better. There's a little bit more accountability. You're able to depend on others a little bit more. So it's all wired to continue to do that. And each week is a new opportunity to kind of put that on display.
And what's the closest you've ever come to either going to, coaching in, being involved in a Super Bowl, Brian?
Well, this will be obviously this is my second year in the league. So went to the playoffs last year, but
never been.
I've never been. Only watched on TV. You know, I actually in the what was that? The Falcons Patriots Super Bowl, they practiced at our facility.
Oh, really?
When we were at Houston.
And did you have who practiced there?
It was New England. But it was like they put these huge like 20-foot pipe and drape, like it was completely cut off. I think the head coach was the only one that got access to go to practice.
So you had no interaction. So
they were in our building. We had no interaction, but they were there. It was a wild week for sure.
So if you could somehow make it to Arizona, you would be barricaded off from the rest of the world the way that the Patriots were back when you were at Houston at that point.
Yeah, I was at Houston. I was at Houston at that point in time. I think it was the 17th Super Bowl, maybe 18th Super Bowl.
17th coaching Super Bowl. You were the offensive coordinator at the University of Houston.
And they used our facility for practice.
So can you even imagine what it would be like to coach in a Super Bowl?
You know, that's putting the cart before the horse a little bit. So, obviously, I think everyone plays this game for their ultimate goal, right? And it's quite the journey. I mean, not very many people have done it. So, I do think the ability to have a team and to get yourself to give yourself an opportunity to get in the playoffs and make a run is what makes this thing special.
So how old are you now? 37, Brian?
I'm 35.
Oh my God. Wow. Man, you got a lot of great stuff ahead of you. 35.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you know what the next great thing is? You get to come over and hang with Alex on Monday night. I get to shake your hand.
No doubt. We'll get a chance to meet in person. Looking forward to it.
I really appreciate taking the time today. Good luck on Monday night. Thank you again, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And there he is, the Eagles quarterbacks coach, Brian Johnson, a man who is directly responsible for the growth and development of MVP candidate Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the unbeaten Eagles, who will be playing the Washington Commanders on Monday Night Football this week. We look forward to meeting Brian in person and getting a chance to watch the Eagles and see whether they can extend their unbeaten streak. And speaking of coaches, how about Coach Brewski and Coach Hasselbeck? Referring to my ESPN colleagues and friends, Teddy Brewski and Matthew Hasselbeck, who are coaching at high schools in their area. Teddy is the defensive coordinator at Bishop Feehan High School. Matthew Hasselbeck is the quarterback's coach at Xaverian Brothers High School. And they're both in round two of the playoffs this weekend in Massachusetts. We wish the best of luck to Coach Brewski and Coach Hasselbeck. We'll be pulling for their teams. And we mentioned earlier on this podcast about our travel issues and travel adversity, which is why, going forward, I switched as much travel as I could to Monday mornings. Now, the problem with this always was going to be switching to Monday mornings would allow me to watch the games on Sunday, see the game Sunday night, see everything that happens, fly out Monday morning. But if there was ever a developing news story and you had to fly on a Monday morning, that was always going to be an issue. So lo and behold, on the very first Monday morning flight of the year, I get to John F. Kennedy Airport Monday morning about 6:45 a.m., and I start getting texts that something's going on in Indianapolis. Oh boy, here we go. The flight leaves at 8:15, and I spent 2.5 hours, the flight to New Orleans, literally trying to track down exactly what the hell the Indianapolis Colts were doing, which ultimately led to the dismissal of Frank Reich as soon as we landed in the airport in New Orleans, and the ultimate hiring of ESPN colleague Jeff Saturday, while I was trying to get pancakes at IHOP on Canal Street in New Orleans an hour later. What a crazy turn of events. And who has had a crazier 2 weeks than Jim Irsay? Holy moly. Calling for the ouster of Dan Snyder, benching his quarterback, Matt Ryan, firing his offensive coordinator, Marcus Brady, firing his head coach, Frank Reich, hiring his former center, a man who is in the Colts Ring of Honor, Jeff Saturday, taking him right off the set of Get Up and First Take and all the other NFL shows like NFL Live so he could go coach against Josh McDaniels of the Raiders this weekend, the same Josh McDaniels that walked out on the Colts after agreeing to take the job. You can't make this stuff up. That was the start of Monday. And then as we began our Zoom meeting to go over the commandments for the night, our great producer, Matt Garrett, came up with the Kirk Cousins video, with Kirk Cousins putting on all the jewelry on the flight home from Washington to Minneapolis. Now, the idea for this that I brought up during that Zoom call that I suggested for RG3 initially came from, I don't know when it was, I'd have to look it up, but after a Bills game, Stevie Johnson, the wide receiver, dropped a pass, and he came out after the game in a white tank top, and it was a look in a press conference that you don't normally see. You see players in suits or ties or nice outfits these days, and he was the command man the next night with Chris Carter. And as soon as the command man got done, Chris Carter was wearing a white tank top on the segment. And I always remember that segment. So I was thinking, well, if we're going to do Kirk Cousins topless, dancing with all sorts of bling on, let's take a page from Chris Carter's playbook and let's have RG3 do that. Only RG3 didn't want to do it. And we were told that there might be some people that he's close to that would not take favorably to that. So I asked our great producer, our fearless leader, Matt Garrett, do you think I should try doing that? And he said, absolutely. And I'm like, really? Oh, I don't know. I went back and forth on it. So I called my wife, and my wife endorsed it and got it done. So between my wife and one of our production assistants, Denzel, he was saying, oh, you got to do it, Adam. They gave me the final push. So right after I concluded my command man on the field of the Superdome yesterday, the one that Jeff Saturday tweeted out the Raiders are horrible while watching them 2 weeks ago while they were playing in New Orleans, I stepped aside and had coworkers like Jess Krause bathing me in chains that they had gathered together in New Orleans. I don't know where they came from, but they had them. There was a guy there that gave us his real diamond necklaces, real bling that we were putting on there. And so I'm undressing, taking my shirt off on the field of the Superdome as the other guys are doing the commandments. And I noticed that the people they had on the field at the time who were getting ready to sing the national anthem or do some type of pregame production, they're all looking at me like, who is this moron with his shirt off inside the Superdome? And I said, oh boy, here we go. And then lo and behold, Robert Griffin III delivered the command man on Kirk Cousins, basically said, what is he doing? Introduced me. And there I was topless in the Superdome. Jess Krause was holding my phones. And literally when she gave them back to me right after the segment, there were 28 text messages. And the text just kept coming from people all across the NFL about what a fool I made of myself. But it was in good fun. And one of the texts, I thought, said it pretty well. One of the texts I got said, as a mentor once told me, take your job serious, but not yourself. And so hopefully that provided a little bit of levity for some people on a crazy day in which the Colts made some wild moves and fired their head coach and hired Jeff Saturday. And the day culminated on the field of the Superdome with me doing something I never would have imagined early in the day, taking off my shirt, donning all kinds of bling, and doing a little Kirk Cousins dance there on the field of the Superdome. Why not have a little fun? Why not end your Monday and week 9 in that way? All right. Want to thank the Eagles quarterbacks coach, Brian Johnson, who will be watching this Monday in Philadelphia, the Washington-Philadelphia game. Want to thank my great producers, Christina Buswell and Sarah Abbott, for putting together this podcast. And I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to another Adam Schefter podcast. Please join us again next week in this space, as we hope to share more information, insights, and interviews. Until then, have a great week, be well, and stay safe.